Sefer Chanan opens with Moshe saying in his speech, I daven to the Rabbono Shel Olam repeatedly to allow me to go into Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused me l'man chem, because of you. So everybody asks, what does this mean? Okay? They again address the issue, why was Moshe Rabbeinu being punished to the extent that he could not go into Eretz Yisroel? What was it that was so grievous that Hashem couldn't forgive it? So we're told, I think it's a medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I made a neder that you can't go in. And so Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Almighty and says, but you taught us in the Torah there's a concept of HaTorah's Nedarim. We can basically undo a neder. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yesh li rav. It's rav lochem, it's too much. And the Mefarshim point out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, you who are on the earth and in that domain, you can have a rav. There's somebody who's able to be mater your neder, to absolve it. But I, who am in Shemayim, I don't have a rav. There's nobody who can absolve my neder. Which is a nice thought, but we know there were other times, for example, at the Chedo Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he was going to wipe out the nation, and Moshe Rabbeinu got HaKadosh Baruch Hu to relent. He was able to get Hashem to forgive. So the question comes here again, what was it that was so grievous, had such gravitas, that Moshe could not go into Eretz Yisroel? Though there are a number of opinions. One is that Moshe would be a tikkun for those who died in the desert if he was there with them. And then we go back to all the questions of what was the actual sin that was done. In other words, what was Moshe's most terrible sin that it couldn't be forgiven, or that God wouldn't forgive it? And if we recall back to when we were learning Chukas, there were a number of opinions as to what the sin was. He hit the rock when he should have spoken it to the rock. He got angry at the people and he said, Hamorim, he called them rebellious. It says that he said, do you think that Aaron and I can bring water out of the rock and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Abayr Ben El, remember, said, I have numerous possibilities, and he rejects them all. And the Barbanel poses that the sin at the rock was really something that was disguised. Moshe made a significant error when he allowed the Meraglim to go in to the land. And that was a significant error. But rather than lump an omission by Moshe and Aaron in the same breath as all of the people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let it turn out another time. In other words, he said, the avera that you're going to be punished for will be other than this. We're going to, so to speak, defer in the Torah where you're punished. And there'll be another incident where there's a failing, and that's where we're going to basically find sufficient guilt that you can't go in. The Sefarnia, right, says, L'ma'anchem, because of you, he says, here's the problem. He said, had Moshe Rabbeinu gone in to Eretz Yisroel, the Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu would have led to the immediate coming of Moshiach, the immediate permanent Beis HaMikdash, and the Gula Shlema. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe, if I let this happen, this is going to short-circuit history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, the people are not on that level that this can happen. There needs to be the failures that will occur in Jewish history and the necessary lessons that would be learned. And if you came in to Eretz Yisroel, that entire plan has to be frustrated. So it's not that you really did anything wrong. It's that you're too great. And because you're too great, I can't allow history to be shortcut and allow this to happen now. The Malbum adds to the Sefarnia's comment, and he says, okay, let's see what happens. He says, at the time of the Meraglim, Moshe made a mistake. Moshe should have stood fast and not let the Jews basically do a reconnaissance mission into the land. Moshe made a mistake. But, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I realize that this first generation that left Mitzrayim, right, couldn't make the transition from having been slaves, which they were, and they were now only a couple weeks they were actually a year and a bit away from having gone out of Mitzrayim and become the people ready to take on building Eretz Yisroel properly as it was needed.
But that was Moshe's problem. Moshe didn't cause that to happen.
But
that's the way it happened.
Right, but
they weren't ready for it.
No,
but
Moshe's,
But Moshe didn't do that.
But I think HaKadosh
Baruch Hu, he's not responsible for that.
But I think, well, Hashem said in some way he was responsible that he let, that basically he let this frailty force him to allow the Meraglim to come. Because maybe, I'm just suggesting this, maybe had they not felt the need to send Meraglim, it would have enhanced their emunah to such an extent that they were now following and they were going to be basically about 11 days from going in to Eretz Yisroel, that would have been the transition. That would have been the step that would have allowed them to transition from the slave mentality to the people who could live in Eretz Yisroel.
That makes sense. However, the Meraglim happened after Korach. Moshe saw that the people, some people, a few hundred people, were against him, and because of the what happened in Korach, Moshe said, "Okay, you wanted to do it that way, let's do it that way." And he knew that it wasn't going to work. You understand what I'm trying to say? Moshe was between a rock and a hard place.
But I think the answer, I can understand what you're saying, right? But apparently Hashem felt that Moshe Rabbeinu had the leadership capacity to overcome this, okay? Moshe and Aaron had the ability to say no, and they should have said no. You know, we're not saying that this is a major, major problem. And so the Malbim says, you know what Hashem said? Hashem said, I see the error, but I am not going to decide at this stage of the game that Moshe and Aaron cannot go into Eretz Yisroel. So the decision, as he says, as to what to do was held in abeyance. That's what the Malbim says. We go forward 38 years later. So they've gone through all the travails in the desert, and the same thing that happened in Shmois at Morah, when they didn't have water, reoccurs. It says that the Jewish people ganged up on Moshe and Aaron. The Jewish people at this stage of the game did not come in an appropriate manner. They basically stormed the Bastille, and they said to Moshe, and Aaron, "We're going to die of thirst." And all the same type of comments. What are we? Why are we in the desert, able to die, etc., etc.? Okay? And at this stage, the Torah tells us that the first thing Moshe and Aaron do when they're confronted by the crowd is not to take them on, but they bow. They basically lie down and they pray to Hashem, which is a great thing. But again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt they were sufficiently great to be able to figure out on their own what to do. And what happens is they're told that the they're told what to do with the rock, and as we learned, they seem to do everything properly, and yet somehow they're told they failed. The Rum album says, at this stage of the game, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had hoped Klal Yisroel had grown, had matured to the stage where their emunah would have been enough that they could have gone to Moshe and Aaron in a bekovedik manner and say, yes, we have this problem and we're terribly worried. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cared for us. And so please help us. But because they basically lost their cool and started with a mob mentality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I realize that this generation too is not ready for Mashiach. And if they're not ready for Mashiach, Tidkenu, I cannot allow Moshe Rabbeinu to come in and, as we said, short-circuit history. So it's not as much a punishment as HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, this is what's best for Klal Yisroel. And so it may well be that Moshe Rabbeinu's inability to go into Eretz Yisroel was sacrificed l'man chem, for you, the Jewish people, for your ultimate good. However, Moshe asked, can I at least see the land? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you a smaller no. You are going to be able to look at every nook and cranny in Eretz Yisroel and put your bracha on it, and it's going to have an effect. So Moshe was able to discern what Eretz Yisroel was, what its level of Kedusha was, and what its potential was. Excuse me. There's another medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked, could he go into Eretz Yisroel not as leader, but as a commoner? He said, you're telling me that I can't lead Klal Yisroel because that'll be undo future history. But let me go in as a commoner. Let me sit in front of Yehoshua and let me be one of his, you know, disciples. Let me, you know, do something like that. And I think it's a medrash that's, I think the medrash says that when Moshe put his hands on Yehoshua and gave him the smicha that he did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with Yehoshua directly, and Moshe had no idea what it was. And Moshe asked Yehoshua, what was the message? And Yehoshua said to Moshe, I can't tell you. The same way you couldn't tell me when I was your disciple, I can't disclose HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message. And it says Moshe then sort of looked forward and said, what's going to happen? He says, I'm going to be there as Yehoshua speaks, and I'm going to feel that I'm missing something. And I run the risk of becoming jealous. He said, I've never been a jealous person in my life. I refuse to transform into someone who'll be jealous. And therefore, he accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. Rav Shmuel Golden, who gave this shir that I'm quoted this all from, said, it's a lesson to every leader. He says leaders have to give up the mantle sometimes. And he says that, I guess he was Rav for a quarter of a century, I think in Englewood, New Jersey. And when he decided he was going to retire, he and his wife decided it's best to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisroel and not be in the community. He said, if I was in the community, it would not be good for the future Rav, who couldn't assert himself to the same degree. Because if somebody else is there, you're always going to say, well, what would X have said? He said, that's not healthy. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu was smart enough to have that realization that you've got to allow transition to occur. And Moshe realized as well that he and Aaron, for whatever reason, were probably too holy, too much men of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to lead a generation that was not going to live any longer with the clouds of glory, with the Mun, and with the well of Miriam. And they needed different leadership. And Moshe tells the Jewish people, he says, why is it that I continue to implore HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this? And he said, I had a misapprehension. I felt that after we conquered the lands of Sichon and Og, and that they were going to be given to the 2.5 Shvatim, meaning that they were going to become part of Eretz Yisroel, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had relented that if I could be in this part of Eretz Yisroel, maybe I can go as well to the other side of Eretz Yisroel. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, told Moshe, remember when I swore I would kill the Jewish people at the Egel, and I relented with the Yud Gimel Midos of the 13 attributes of mercy. And he said, Moshe, I took two oaths. The one there and the one now. One of them has got to withstand. Either I go back on this oath and you go into Eretz Yisroel, or I go back on the other oath and I wreck certain amount of destruction and annihilation of Eretz Yisroel and make a new nation out of you. And Moshe said, let 1,000 Moshe Rabbeinus die. Do not harm one Yud. And then Ashi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why can my remains not be buried in Eretz Yisroel, like Yosef's? And he said, another interesting thing. Yosef always claimed to be a Yid. I was stolen from the land of the Hebrews. However, when you met Yisro's daughters and they said, you're a Midianite, right? Or they said, an Egyptian rescued us, right? An Egyptian, you didn't correct them. These are all Midrashim, right? And these, you know, and you take a look at things, it says Moshe offered 515 different philos till Hashem said no. And Hashem, as we know, said to Moshe, you're going to see the land, You're going to be buried on higher Nevoah, I believe. Or no, wherever it is, whatever mountain Moshe Rabbeinu is.
Har Nevoah.
Right? And they say when people went up to the top, they said the grave is on the bottom. On the bottom, they said it was on top. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that if people knew where Moshe Rabbeinu's kever was, they could attempt almost to deify Moshe. That was how great he was. I think sometimes if you go to some of the kvorim in Eretz Yisroel, like the Rambams, etc., you almost get a sense that certain people are being carried away in whatever conduct they show there. Anyway. And so that is what the end result is. And history went on, as we say, under Yehoshua. Okay.